Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear from Kara Hart, and here with us is Sierra Doctor as well. Much of the Midwest will see a good mix of rain and sunshine over the next couple of weeks that will disrupt planting at times, but keep conditions favorable for newly planted crops. World Weather Incorporated saying the Northern Plains and Canadian Prairies will experience frost and freezes this weekend. Temperatures will be dropping into the 20s and 30s. Light snow also expected today and tomorrow before dry weather begins Sunday. World Weather expects about 10 days of net drying to occur for the eastern Canadian prairies, northern Minnesota, North Dakota, and beginning Sunday before more unsettled weather returns in early June.
DTN meteorologist Don Baranek says he doesn't expect today's snow to stick around.
So we saw a cold front move through yesterday. We had some pretty decent rainfall move across North Dakota and some areas of Minnesota and South Dakota as well. Colder air is filtered in behind that, and it's led to some snow showers here across North Dakota. Pretty white for this time of year in mid to late May. We don't really like to see this time of year. The showers here today on Friday don't look to be too much more. Just some spotty showers here and there. I think, with the sun up and everything, it's going to be hard for it to kind of stick to the ground.
Baranek says you can expect scattered smaller systems in the coming week.
That's not the end of our wet pattern here. We'll be dry kind of through the weekend, but we got another system moving through on Monday and then a Tuesday if you're in Minnesota. And we'll be looking at some more kind of widespread showers. I don't think they'll be overly heavy. I think amounts will generally stay around or under a half an inch. But, it's not going to help with the drying process, especially in those wetter areas there. And the active pattern really continues through next week as well. We may see a couple little disturbances bringing some showers. Nothing overly heavy after Tuesday. But there will be another system moving through what looks like Friday and Saturday of next week, and we get another chance for some showers and thunderstorms.
North Dakota Senator John Hoeven hosting a roundtable today with North Dakota farmers and ag groups at North Dakota State University, talking about the emergency relief program and to hear about ways to help farmers with the planting season. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Kara Hart has more.
The Farm Service Agency's newly announced emergency relief program got attention today, but the majority of the two-hour roundtable discussion focused on current planting delays happening due to the extremely wet conditions across the region for farmers like Linton, North Dakota farmer Brian Lyer.
We started probably about 2 weeks ago, and we've had maybe about a total of five decent days out in the field. Our progress is probably around that 20%. We have spring wheat in the ground and some corn in the ground. It's a little bit of talk of switching crops a little bit. I have talked to some producers that, are kind of set in that corn-soybean rotation, and they tell me they're not going to move. They don't get their corn in, it's going to PP.
Strong commodity prices and global needs may incentivize farmers to plant a crop and make economic sense. What policy changes can be made to help farmers get a crop planted in the short term? Lyer has a few ideas.
We could do something with to avoid some of the penalties that prevent a plant. The guys that are going to still go and do the late planting, maybe we can do something for them where we can say they do only raise that 75 or 80% crop where they don't collect any insurance, take a hit on their yields. Maybe we could forgive the hit on the yield for the year.
The Arthur Company's general manager, Kevin Carroll, also asked Senator Hoeven if there was a way to de-risk late planting.
We are facing food inflation. Potentially, you have some humanitarian issues in North Africa with food shortages in the world. We need oil seeds. We need starches. We need feed products. We can do that here. Take a farm in East Central North Dakota and give them the tools to de-risk maybe planting some corn the first week of June. I don't think the farmers should bear all that risk. I think as a country, it makes a lot more sense for us to de-risk it for the farmer. Don't hurt his APH. Don't hurt him if he has low test weight, if he has wet corn, really wet corn if he plants late. The nation needs his commodities and his crops. So let's make a common sense approach to having a policy that de-risks it for the farmer, and the consumer of the country will benefit.
Carroll also said it's important to consider longer-term policy solutions, especially going into the next farm bill. By the way, Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring is getting questions from farmers about changing planting dates. Goring says the risk management agency can't do that due to possible litigation. Reporting Agriculture's Business from Fargo, North Dakota, I'm Kara Hart on the Red River Farm Network.
During North Dakota Senator Hovind's Agriculture Roundtable meeting today, changes were advocated for the Livestock Indemnity Program. North Dakota Farm Service Agency State Director Marcy Svenningson said a proposal has been forwarded to USDA for consideration.
That would change that bottom tier on the LIP program for beef cattle to drop that 0 to 250 pound tier and just go 0 to 399 pounds. And we feel that that would, the payment level increases from $175 to $474. And when we're thinking about LIP, it's a disaster program. And we should really be trying to address what the disaster is. And it's the fact that that producer has got a calf that they're not going to be able to sell in the fall for $1,200. And not only is the disaster not having that calf to sell, but it's most likely having to sell that open cow.
North Dakota is also proposing livestock diseases like pneumonia be covered under LIP. Svenningson emphasizes these are just proposals.
I'd like to say that there's a great expectation that it'll be approved, but it's a proposal.
North Dakota Stockmen's Association announced their Hope After Haley Disaster Relief Fund after this spring's winter snowstorms. Stockmen's Executive Vice President Julie Ellingson says there's been a lot of interest in that relief fund.
The Stockmen's Association and Foundation started a pool of fund with their initial gift of $40,000 and invited others to take part and help supplement that pool. We've had good response so far. I think at last tally, we are more than doubled that amount, maybe approaching almost tripling it. And so really are grateful for the outpouring of support across the state as well as across the country with people wanting to provide some support to livestock producers after the challenges that they've had to deal with.
Ellingson says the application form should be available before the end of the month. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Despite the issues in the Black Sea and the weather-related problems in the U.S., the supply of wheat worldwide is adequate.
We're not going to run out of wheat. People will be able to buy wheat, but it's going to come at a pretty high price.
Joe Glauber, who is with the International Food Policy Institute, says much of the Middle East depends on Ukraine for reasonably priced wheat.
And these countries are 30-35% of their diets are from wheat products. Yemen imports about 100% of its wheat. They have their own civil war going on. It's not a question of the country, you know, stepping up its safety net. It has no resources really to kind of cover that sort of thing.
Glauber, who previously served as USDA's chief economist, said that puts the focus on humanitarian wheat donations.
Ever Ag market analyst Matt Trainel says profit-taking in the wheat market today following the run-up in prices is primarily due to India's export ban.
That wasn't necessarily a surprise, but it was a little bit of a disappointment to the overall market. India is a big producer of wheat, and many were hoping that maybe they could fulfill some of the export gap that was going to be left with the lack of production in Ukraine. So markets obviously took a huge leap after that.
Trainel says the weakness in the corn market follows the strength that was seen after last week's supply-demand report.
We hadn't seen USDA drop the trendline yield in the May report since way back in 2015, so that was a little bit of a surprise and gave some support. But the wheat numbers that came out were certainly supportive.
While most commodity markets have seen large increases this spring, the livestock markets have remained relatively untouched by world demand. Top Third Ag Marketing Senior Risk Advisor Dan Smith says they've taken the brunt of inflation.
They've been the punching bag of commodities is what they've been, and basically it's tied to the macro events of the world. A lower stock market, people struggling. The first thing to go is the steaks off the table to replace the chicken and hamburger, you know. So that's why you're seeing these feeder cattle get kind of beat up a bit. You know, the feeder cattle is fighting two fronts. It's fighting the high corn price front. Now it's fighting the economic front of the Dow losing 18% on the year, and that's where we're at with the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Smith remains optimistic that the cattle market might see a rally yet.
Now, I'm kind of hoping we can find the bottom candle and kind of rally back, but it's going to be a matter of how the stock market acts from here going forward. We could put it in the bottom. We might get some rally back, which should give some good tone to the feeder market and the fat market, but we have to wait to see if that develops.
AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says the wheat and corn markets have been lower today, with wheat chasing double-digit losses. Corn market is lower on expected planting progress.
First of all, the corn is down because we've had some pretty fair weather here this week, several days in which guys can get corn in the ground, so they're expecting that we'll see a planting progress accelerate on Monday's report. Wheat is down because of two factors. One, it looks like India is going to ease their export ban on wheat for exports.
The hog market is firmer today, although the cattle markets have been quiet.
The hog market is up here this morning, and it looks like on the hogs here, we've seen more of a recovery here from oversold conditions. Cattle, we got a cattle on feed here today, and the market's just not really having much reaction to it here. Just wanted to wait, I think, to get the report out of the way.
South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren are asking the Federal Trade Commission to investigate beef companies for price fixing. CEOs from the four largest packers testified on Capitol Hill last month. Leadership from Cargill, Tyson Foods, JBS, and National Beef denied any wrongdoing.
BNSF Railway and Canadian Pacific Railway have filed weekly grain backlog reports that are required by the U.S. Surface Transportation Board. According to the report, BNSF loaded and billed a total of 2,330 grain cars during the week ending May 13th. Average weekly dwell time at origin was just over 24 hours. The report says the number of unfilled orders that are 1 to 10 days past due are 1,246. Number of orders that are 11 days plus past due are at 2,351. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Jeff Beach. Jeff, what's on the cover of Ag Week next week?
In this week's Ag Week issue, we'll be looking at the soybean crushing plants that are being built in North Dakota and how North Dakota is getting in on that game and what is driving the momentum behind soybean crushing plants.
What do you think is driving the momentum? Is it growing market demand in other areas of the country?
There is market demand, but not just in other parts of the country, but it's a lot of demand for biofuel, including right in Minnesota, where there is a mandate for a higher biofuel blend at certain times of the year. So that's driving part of it, but also certainly markets like in California and Washington that are demanding more biofuel as part of their clean fuel standards.
Did you learn anything new when you were covering this?
One of the things I learned a little bit about was some of the history of the Minnesota soybean processors, which will have a 25% stake in the Castleton soybean crushing plant, and how it kind of came together just with a bunch of farmers basically standing in line or waiting in line to dump beans back in the late 90s. They used that time to kind of drum up a plan to build their own soybean crush facility, and then later added their own biodiesel for refinery at that site down in Brewster in southwest Minnesota. The Castleton plant will be a little bit different, and the ADM plant at Spiritwood will be a little bit different. But they're both kind of, a similar size to that plant down in Brewster.
Jeff, it sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it in next week's Ag Week.
Let's check markets before we leave you this afternoon here at the Red River Farm Network. July wheat Minneapolis is down 46.5 cents at 1284. September down 45.25 at 1283.75. July corn's down 3.5 at 779.75. December's down 3 at 733. July soybeans 19 cents higher, 1709.5. November's up 7 cents at 1521. Canola right now $49.30 a metric ton higher. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.